The Pyongyang Fizzle might be a drink they're serving up this morning in Seoul or Tokyo. A North Korea missile test demonstrated only that North Korea appears not to have the reliable capability of putting anything into orbit, let alone an intercontinental nuclear payload. After weeks of international warnings, early this morning, North Korea launched its test rocket, the Unha 3, which Japanese officials say broke into several pieces shortly after takeoff. U.S. officials have confirmed that report. What North Korea calls its Kwangmyong-Song 3 communications satellite is apparently a total loss. But U.S. officials are less concerned about the failure than about the continued intent of North Korea to get it right eventually. Joining us now is David Sanger, chief Washington correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. A failure for whom here, David Sanger?
Well, John, you know the old saying, breaking up is hard to do. But, you know, if you're a North Korean rocket scientist, it turns out it's pretty easy to do because this is about the third or fourth one they've had that has gone bad. Now, remember, the United States has lost more than its share of rockets and missiles over the years. We've had more than our share of lost satellite launches. And so this is hard business. It's particularly hard business if you don't have the infrastructure and the parts and the scientific knowledge for it. But there are a couple of things I think we've learned from this. The first is the delivery systems have always been the great weakness for North Korea. The second is that probably doesn't make that big a difference. The fact of the matter is, if North Korea ever wanted to launch a nuclear weapon at somebody, they're not going to do it on a big missile that's traceable back to the North. That's a prescription for instant suicide. So the concern about the North Korean nuclear program is that it would sell its technology someplace else, that it would slip a bomb out on a cargo ship or something like that. So the missile capability is more symbolic than anything else.
Well, then why the U.S. Again, we've talked about this on the program before. The U.S. sort of tough response to North Korea just seems to raise their profile rather than pushing this onto the fringe as symbolic as it is and focusing on the real issue, which is nuclear tests. Has the administration made that pivot at all?
They haven't yet. Usually what's happened is that the North Koreans have used two things to provoke the West and try to get concessions. And the first and easier of them have been the missile shots. And the missile shots are a much bigger regional concern than they are an international concern. At one point a number of years ago, the North Koreans did actually manage to shoot a missile well over Japan. And, of course, that made the Japanese think they were in easy missile range. Forget nuclear, just for conventional capability. And that worries you when it's a country like North Korea because you're never sure who's in charge of their military equipment. And if the country actually did implode or explode one day, if the country melted down, the big concern would be who could actually shoot this stuff off. The international concern is rightly focused on the nuclear capability, and that's for the reason I mentioned before, the ability to export it. You'll remember that in 2007, the Israelis destroyed a reactor in Syria that was entirely North Korean built. And so that's really where you've got to focus on the nuclear side. My biggest concern coming out of this failure is that with a new leader in, Kim Jong-un, who's the grandson of the founder of North Korea, and it was in the honor of his 100th birthday, the founder's 100th birthday, that this launch was happening, that he'll feel like he needs to prove himself now. And that could make a nuclear test more likely in the next couple of weeks, I would think, rather than less likely.
Now, are you saying that just out of your experience in covering the region, or do you think administration officials believe that this very public failure, I mean, the International Press Corps was invited into Pyongyang, how often does that happen? This international humiliation, which smacks of the soccer team going down to defeat at the World Cup again, and we know it happened to a lot of those soccer players. Do you think the administration believes this puts the pressure on Kim Jong-un to do that nuclear test?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I talked to some administration officials yesterday. I mean, first of all, there was a lot of suspicion this test was going to happen anyway. You look at the satellite photographs of the test site, and you can see fresh dirt and digging, and, you know, they've got tunnels out there, and, you know, they could be doing that for show. But usually the nuclear tests come paired in some way with a missile test. Secondly, getting a nuclear capability was Kim Il-sung's great objective for the country. One from the time he ruled it before the Korean War until he died in 1994. He was afraid that the United States would use a nuclear weapon on him. He wanted to make sure they had them. So if you're going to honor his 100th birthday, what greater gift than to give him a test? Thirdly, the North Koreans have revealed about a year and a half ago a new nuclear capability, their first efforts to enrich their own highly enriched uranium, the same kind of process the Iranians are going through. They are running out of their other source of nuclear fuel, plutonium, because they've closed down those facilities. So I think they may well want to show that they can make an HEU bomb. And by the way, if they could make one ahead of the Iranians, that would probably be a little boost to their ego as well.
And also possibly deliver some concessions. Let's talk a little bit about concessions before we go, and the possibility that this humiliation of Kim Jong-un emboldens individuals inside Pyongyang that might want to challenge his leadership. This is his first sort of outing, and it looks pretty bad.
It does look really bad. And, you know, from the day that his father, Kim Jong-il, died in December, we've been looking, and I've been writing about possibilities of challenges within to Kim Jong-un. So far, we haven't seen any. They have put him in place. They have given him almost all the titles they could go give him. There's been some recent shuffling in the next layer of leadership, which seems to be moving up people who would essentially be running the country as the regent, because Kim Jong-un is 28 years old. Nobody knows what he can do. But the symbol of having a member of the Kim family, of the grandson of Kim Il-sung, and in this case, a grandson who looks a lot like Kim Il-sung
right.
looked, you know, I think is probably pretty attractive to the regime.
Finally, what concessions could the North Koreans possibly get? It seems to me with this missile failing publicly that the U.S. is less inclined, not more inclined, to take North Korea seriously.
My guess is opposite of concessions. I could be reading them entirely wrong, but my guess is they've had missile failures before. My guess is they're going to move on to a nuclear test. They've had two previous nuclear tests. One was sort of a fizzle. The next one kind of worked. I would suspect that's the next move. I don't see what kind of concession they would be ready to offer unless they got to a negotiating situation, and even then you have your doubts.
And what concession would the West offer to try to get them to constrain once they do another test? David Sanger, thanks as always.
Thank you.
David Sanger, Chief Washington Correspondent for our partner, The New York Times.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.